Good morning, my dear friends. I wish to bring you a message out of God's Word, and I trust out of a warm heart that would do you good and not evil at all, on the subject, the fear of the Lord. I read first of all this morning from Psalms 130, verses 1 through 4. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God willing, I want to come back to that thought in verse 4. But I wish now to read another verse of Scripture from the Gospel according to Luke at chapter 12, two verses rather, and verses 4 and 5. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And the Lord Jesus here says, And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, F-E-A-R, fear him. Dear ones, these words plainly teach, if language teaches anything, that the only thing that keeps wicked men out of dropping into hell right now is the mere pleasure and purpose of a holy God. The reason all sinners are not in hell now, or do not fall into hell at this very moment, is that God's appointed time of vengeance has not yet come. The Word of God says, for instance, in Deuteronomy, at chapter 32 and verse 35, their foot shall slide in due time. Their foot shall slide. No doubt about that, but in God's time. There is no lack of power on the part of God to cast any sinner into hell at any moment he may be pleased. The strongest angel or demon or man is as weak as a babe and has no power to resist God, nor can any creature deliver out of God's hand. Sometimes the laws of our land meet with a great deal of difficulty in conquering a rebellious criminal, but this is not so with God. He's equal to the occasion. There is no human shelter. There is no natural defense or protection that can withstand God's power. Though hand joined in hand and vast multitudes of God's enemies combine their forces, they are easily broken in pieces. They are as a pile of leaves in the wake of a whirlwind, or as dry, dead grass in a forest fire. We find it very easy to step on a worm and crush him as he goes crawling along the ground. Even so is it easy for an omnipotent God to crush the worms of this world. Who are you, my sinner friend, that you should think that you can stand before God, at whose word the worlds tremble and the stars come and go? We need to mark it down and believe it in our hearts these days that rebellious sinners deserve to be sent by a holy God to eternal hell. You say, Preacher, I just can't take that. But you must take it, for it is the God's truth. One of the major points in the other gospel that is being preached today is that sinners deserve to be saved, and that God is unjust if he doesn't allow every old rotten liar and drunkard and law-breaking rebel to walk over his holy law right straight into heaven. Whether you like it or not, my friend, you deserve to be sent to hell. And whether you can take it or not, you will be sent to hell if you die in your rebellious state against the rule of Almighty God. I declare to you that the sword of God's divine justice is right now pointed at your deceitful heart. I declare to you on the authority of the Word of God that right now you are under the sentence of God. I say to you on the authority of God's Word that last, after the scoffers are gone to hell, that you who are without God and without hope now walk under the cloud of God's wrath and condemnation. For the Scripture say, the wrath of God abideth on you now. And the Lord Jesus Christ has said, you are from beneath, and that is exactly where you are bound. The psalmist said, the wicked, S-H-A-L-L, shall be cast into hell. And the psalmist was telling the truth. The pulpits in far too many places today ring with pity the sinner. Pity the poor sinner. God owes every man a chance. I've heard that until sometimes it rings in my ears. I think God ought to give everybody a chance. But my friends, you're on the wrong side when you take sides with the sinner against God. Your whole program of evangelism, my preacher brother, your whole mission program, my preacher brother, is wrong when it is motivated by pity for the sinner rather than concern for the glory of God. Does that sound strange? But that's so. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was here in the days of his flesh, said, all authority is given unto me. Where? In heaven. Where? And in earth. Go ye therefore. Our main concern then is that in salvation and in condemnation, that the God of glory should be served. I expect that's a little hard for us to swallow. We've been using God as somebody to get something out of all these years. And it's a little strange to talk about preaching, not so much to help men, though that falls in its place, but to promote the glory of God. We just said that if your main concern in evangelism is the winning of souls, you're wrong. We've just said that if your main concern in the sending of missionaries is the winning of souls, is wrong. Is your main concern, you're wrong. The main concern must be the glory of God. The glory of God. We'll give God the glory for everyone he saves. Can you take this next verse? We'll give God the glory for everyone he damns. Can you take it? We might have revival in church-minded religious America, where we use the grace of God as an excuse to live as we please, if we get concerned, as the Bible's been all the while, about God's glory first and our blessing second. I say it with a bleeding heart that this generation has heard so much about the love and the mercy of God that men and women are absolutely oblivious to and unmindful of the wrath of God, and give it no attention almost whatsoever. Men today swap wives and sleep well at night. Men today break God's holy law with never a quiver. Men today brag about being saved while willfully and consciously living in open sin. And even preachers today, some of them, are controlled by wealth and women and popular acclaim. I say it with a bleeding heart. This generation that gets so familiar with deity is going to hell so fast that it amazes me that one can sleep so soundly on the slippery side of hell. This generation needs to hear the word of God again. Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. This generation needs to hear the God who given a statement and had it recorded in the Word of God in Psalms 5 and 5. The psalmist says of God and tells the truth about Him, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." This generation needs to hear about a God. The record of His nature is given in John 3:36. "The wrath of God abideth on Him now." My dear friend, you who forever talk of how much God loves everybody need to carefully study in the Word of God how that the love of God is localized in the Lord Jesus Christ and nowhere else. To be in Christ is to rest and abide in the love of God. But to be out of Christ is to be under the wrath of God. To be out of Christ is to be under the condemnation of God. To be out of Christ is to be under the sentence of death. Men may brag about how God loves them while we slide to hell, but I warn you, you'll be persuaded someday that instead of the love of God abiding on Christ's rejecters, it's the wrath of God from which you're warned to flee. Perhaps I speak to somebody now, you take a lot of comfort in the fact that you're in good health, or that you have no visible means of death at hand, can see none. But history and experience and the Word of God all combine to warn that you may this moment be on the very brink of death, and the next step you take may be into eternal hell. My brother, the pit has already been prepared. My friend, the fire is already burning. My friend, the furnace of God's wrath is already hot. I know I can't flush you out, and I can't convict you of your evil. But I warn you that He who knows the hearts of men and women will judge you. Many people today flatter themselves that somehow, by some hook or crook, they're going to do what the boys say on the street, they're going to beat the rap. Many sinners boast of what they've done and of what they're doing and of what they intend to do. They've heard of hell. The warning of God's hellfire preacher rings in their ears. They've read that there are a few that will be saved, and yet they say, "I know, but I'll escape somehow." But my friends, you may be the one who does not intend to spend eternity in hell. And when you get there, you'll say over and over, "I didn't intend to come to this awful place." Yet, you're there. And on the walls of eternal hell, you'll read the words, "Salvation never, damnation forever." The Word of God says, Proverbs 29:1, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly..." Suddenly, did you get that? "Shall suddenly be destroyed." That destruction at the hands of a sovereign, holy God will be without remedy. Oh, my soul, will you believe that God has obligated Himself to no man? The most blasphemous, foulest statement or thought that ever crossed the darkened minds of dark hearts is that God O salvation to sinners. If that's so, then God owed sinners the death of His Son, and that's blasphemy. Don't speak to me, my friends, of what God ought to do. Walk softly here. Bow humbly at His shrine. Say, Lord, I can't bring any demands to You. I haven't got any right to tell You what to do. I've got nothing I can bring to offer You. Oh, this impious generation telling what God has to do and what He must do and what they think God has to do. You listen to me, God has not obligated Himself to any man. Men do not deserve the mercy of God. Men who walked upon the holy law and the blessed name of the Son of God, God hadn't obligated Himself to do anything for them. Men deserve to be sent to hell. And if men are saved, it'll be the mere pleasure and mercy of God on their behalf. In God's name, my friend, how on earth can you keep from falling there on your face in the dust and crying for mercy? Oh, sinner friend, maybe you're just 1 minute this side of hell. I bid you, casting away all confidence in anything and everything, look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise His holy name. There is mercy, but it is in Christ. There is love for sinners, but it is in Christ. And I warn you to ask you to listen again to the words of my Lord. I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. And now these verses in Psalms 130, the first one, the third verse, if you'd face this, it'd make your hair stand on your head, my friend. The psalmist asks the question, if Thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Well, the tragedy of it is He does mark iniquity. H.G. Wells, the historian, said that they told him of God that saw everything He did. And he said, I learned to hate that God. But that's the kind of God the Bible talks about. And He does mark our iniquities. And if that's all we've got to preach, then the question, who shall stand? The answer is nobody. Oh, how blessed then to read the next verse. But there is forgiveness with Thee. Isn't that wonderful? Well, not unless you face the fact that God is a holy God. Not unless you face the fact of how you stand in His sight. You don't care whether it's forgiveness with God or not. But if I speak to somebody, he says, Lord, do You mark down my iniquities? Yes. Well, I can't stand, no. But there is forgiveness with the Lord. And this forgiveness is not to sick a bunch of people out in a godless world, prating about themselves, but to establish men and women in a holy fear and reverence who promote the glory of God and stand for the faith and make the air sweeter by the perfume of their holy, obedient lives. There is forgiveness with Thee. What for? That Thou mayest be feared. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord.